Now, the Trail Talk Podcast, anything and everything snowmobiling. By UpstateSnow.com, I'm Rich Lupia, the owner and host. Let's get ready to ride. It's December, it's Trail Talk Tuesday, snow's in the forecast, so let's go up to Lewis County, the heart of it all, and first time Trail Talk podcast guest, Rory Nortz, the trail coordinator and maintenance coordinator for Valley Snow Travelers. How are you, sir?
Good, Rick. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's great to have you on the podcast, and we have some late breaking news because we were actually going to record this podcast the day before. We're recording this on December 1st on Trail Talk Tuesday. We were actually going to record it the night before, but a little meeting came up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how that may impact the trails up on your system?
Well, we had a meeting with the windmill project that's going on west of Flat Rock Inn, and they're still setting towers at this time. So now we're going to have Flat Rock Road from Flat Rock Inn to the Cary Road intersection, and then down Cary Road into the gate called Alaskan Highway. It's roughly a little bit more than 2 miles will be plowed, but snow will be left on the road, and we can groom on the shoulders the best we can, and that has to stay maintained until they get done setting. I think it's 8 more towers now to set, and then they got to break them big cranes down and then truck them all out. So that, as tentatively, will be January 1st, given a day or two before or after that will be plowed. And then after that, for some electrical work, the small chunk of Rector and Poor Road and a small chunk of Upper Flat Rock will be plowed the same way with snow left on the trail, but enough for vehicles and maintenance vehicles and trucks and fuel trucks to get in until most likely what they're saying is the 31st of January, but that could be shortened depending on how fast they get stuff erected and online.
So this is a very important piece of information in one of the most heavily traveled snowmobile corridors in the entire state of New York, practically in the Northeast for that matter. So a couple of things we need to pray for. Number one, we don't have any big thaws in January, because if we have all that heavy equipment going in and out and it warms up and it turns to mud and then refreezes, oh, that's going to be a mess. And then the other part of it,
we're working with the contractor on this too, for especially after the cranes are pulled out, we will be in there with them, with our equipment and their bulldozers and grader, to put snow that's pushed back, and hopefully we have a lot of it that's been pushed back, and we're going to go in at a nighttime operation and push the snow back into the roads to reestablish the full based trail. So let's just hope why this happens that we do have a decent snowfall to be able to rectify it after. And like you were saying, if we do end up having a major thaw, say after Christmas into the new year, it would be a very big game changer in that stretch, because everybody knows that the Flat Rock Road is one of the most heavily traveled trails around, giving that on an average Saturday is around anywhere between 3,000 and 4,000 sleds on the county counter that's there.
I would argue it's even more than that. I've been up there on a Saturday. I would argue it might be closer to 5.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it's rush hour in New York City on Flat Rock Road. I know that.
It rivals around Tabolt's Corners, that big intersection just off to your south where you meet Turin. It would rival that, I would say. But the other thing that I was going to say is, given the fact that that's such a heavily traveled corridor and people are probably not looking for and not used to the heavy equipment, they have got to understand and have to take into consideration, especially with all the people that are going to be trying to ride, heads up, watch out, don't just hammer through this corridor.
No, and if people follow our Facebook page, we'll have updates in and out. And while they're working there during the week, they're going to have people in place that from trail to plowed road, transitions to slow traffic down, especially if something big's getting moved in and out. And other than that, it will be heavy pickup truck and fuel truck traffic. So for the most part, it shouldn't be bad during the week. Will be your main construction, unless they have a lot of, for them would be wind days for setting the towers. So you might see them working on the weekends here and there if they are behind schedule between now and the first of the year.
And of course, as always, dependent on the weather.
Yes. Yep. And that's, you know, they have days that they cannot work when the wind's over a certain speed. And usually anything like that with us in the winter is associated with lake effects. So.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get some good lake effect. I mean, as of the recording of this podcast, you know, we're expecting several inches to hit the hill. Nothing out of the ordinary for, you know, say the first week of December. We've certainly seen a lot bigger at this time of year. But just to see snow, given how warm November was and given how warm and rainy it's been on the front end of this storm, anything white and anything below freezing, I'm sure, is a welcome sight.
Yes.
So the legendary Rory Nortz, of course, I'd like to play up my guests here, and I, of course, appreciate you coming on the Trail Talk podcast. But many people know you because you're also very active on the social media. I would say outspoken in a good way, because you have been for many years a defender of old school snowmobiling. Respect the landowners, get involved, do your part, help out. There's a lot of people that spend all kinds of time, tens if not hundreds of hours, hundreds if not thousands of dollars worth of equipment and time and energy to make snowmobiling great, especially in an area like Lewis County. And when people, let's say, are not respectful of that, there's not really much of a filter for letting them know. And on behalf of the upstate snow community, I appreciate you defending the vast majority of us that do respect the trails, that do respect the landowners, that do help out and join where we ride.
Yes, I mean, that's a major part of it, is just even helping out. And I know a lot of people say they'd like to help out, but you know, a lot of people that come up here to ride snowmobile, you know, they live 3+ hours away. So, you know, for them, just joining more than one club is a big help. And in our whole area, because it don't matter if it's Turn Ridge Riders or Barnes Corners or Southern Tug Hill or ourselves or any other club, you know, it's any little bit of money can go along. We've had our share of breakdowns and repairs to do just like any other club. And we're 100% staked right now, but we have a bridge to fix. Actually, we're going to fix that tomorrow. And thankfully for a local cement company, they're donating some blocking. And so we can,
nice,
build a new head wall, so we can get that fixed. And we're in the process of fixing our loading ramp at our parking area at the groomer barn. And same as the local contractor donated a load of stone, and another person donated some old guide rails, so we can successfully rebuild our fallen apart loading ramp for the people that truck up on the back of their pickups. So, you know, just them small things right there with the local community that does help with us, you know, it's, you know, a few $100 here and there, it adds up over a year of trail maintenance or just maintenance on the groomers.
Really a shout out to the local business owners, and especially heavy equipment and construction, because I've seen it, you know, firsthand working with, you know, several different, you know, snowmobile clubs and just hearing about their projects and stuff. Ohio's a big, you know, example of this, just the amount of buy-in that they have from different companies. I think people just got to understand that it's more than just the club memberships, and it's more just the volunteering of the clubs. A lot of these businesses, without their contributions, things would get done a lot slower or not at all, or you might not even have those things. So it's particularly these businesses, these construction and excavation companies that donate stuff like this and that support the snowmobile clubs, try and support them in any way that you can, even if it's just a shout out and a thank you.
No, it's our whole area. Without these people that help out like that, it's a big relief off, you know, off your checkbook. I mean, we're not here to make money, but we still got to watch our money enough so we have enough to operate. And you never know, like with this year, if the state does cut any funding or anything like that, so it's just going to take a toll on everybody. especially the clubs, I would say, in our area from, you know, Camden North. Nothing against any other club down south, but it's, you know, anybody at slaps are over $700 to $1,200 a year in grooming. You know, on an average year, you're looking at $20,000 in fuel.
And fuel's cheap right now compared to what it was, say, several years ago.
Oh, yes. I was right. We just had a fuel delivery. It was, I believe it was $1.59 a gallon. And, you know, that's a very far cry from $3 a gallon for off-road diesel fuels. And, you know, that's going to help out a lot, especially if we end up in a freeze-thaw pattern where you're going to have to make more runs before it rains to getting it flattened out. So it gets rained on and the trails are flat and they freeze in flat. And it just helps with the battle of it. That's for sure.
Certainly. And we'll talk more about that battle and some of the concerns, with the upcoming season, up on Tug Hill. But Rory, I want to redirect the conversation a little bit more to you, because there are so many people that are impassioned about snowmobiling. Everyone's got a great story about how they got into snowmobiling, why they fell in love with the sport, and how they got involved. And I would love to hear yours. I'd love for you to share with the Upstate Snow audience your story.
Well, mainly I was with my grandfather and my father, been snowmobiling since I was old enough to ride on the back with my father and my grandfather. And then my first snowmobile was a Kitty Cat back in, I think it was 1988 or 89. That was my first snowmobile. And then after that, I've been hooked ever since.
So this is really a third generation family thing. Your family's been in Lewis County for a long time. Before we started the recording of the podcast, we were sharing some stories of yesteryear behind the scenes. But tell me how you got involved with Valley and why you just love giving of the time, being the trail coordinator and the maintenance coordinator for the club.
Well, really, with getting involved with the club. And any clubs had it happen. They run into a slump. And, the same people that do the same thing for years and years and don't get new help, they get burnt out on it. And basically started grooming. And next thing you know, I'm grooming 3 to 4, sometimes 5 days a week. And then try to ride sled. And then taking over with the tractors of all the track maintenance. And got trained by a very good guy from Vermont on how to work on Soucy tracks. And then we end up with 2 tractors and turned into getting nominated for the trail coordinator. So I know a lot of the town guys, which is nice. It's easy to work with them around stuff that's plowed and all this, and just stayed right with the maintenance and all that. And really for the amount of miles that we take care of, we have a small group of guys that take care of a lot of trail, busy area, and very fortunate to be part of it. I enjoy it. There's times that when something breaks at 1 o'clock in the morning, you want to pull your hair out, but I love doing it. Just for the people that live here in Lovell area and all around us and the people that come up to enjoy our area, it's good to take care of the trails for the local economy.
Now, Valley just celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. You're one of the oldest, clubs in New York State. So for those that are not familiar with the exact areas of Tug Hill that you cover and the mileage and some of the landmarks, give folks a sense of how much work is involved covering the areas that you do.
Well, we meet Southern Tug Hill all the way up on the North-South Road and Michigan Mills intersection. And Turn Ridge Riders down at Tabalt's Corners. We groom the old railroad bed and up through there. And then we meet Snow Pals up at the Montague area. And then Long Pond on the outside of Lovell. And then we meet Missing Link out of Carthage over by the Maples. And it's roughly like 74 and a half miles of trail one way. So, you're almost, you're basically 150 miles just making 2 passes on the whole trail system. And everybody knows on a given Saturday between High Market and Montague and Barnes Corners, it's Montague Flat Rock area can be very congested.
Yeah, for sure. One of my favorite areas of the Valley, system is up kind of in the Rector Road area, kind of from Montague eastbound and up across the Windmills, because it's just so beautiful with the rolling hills and looking out towards Carthage, towards Watertown and Jefferson County, and also out
Right, coming
across the Black
down.
River Valley towards the Adirondacks.
Yeah, it's a very nice ride going down through. It's a very nice ride going down through Gardner Road. That's what's east of our Groomer Barn, and across Burkowski Road, and then over by the gorge, over on Corgan Hill Road. That's a very nice area to stop and check the scenery out, and people stop to the reservoir, even if it's on the railroad or the over by the dam side.
So obviously, Rory, we've had a lot of conversations with clubs across the state, from Hamburg out in the Buffalo area, to your friends next door in Turin and Southern Tug Hill and places in between. We've had Roseanne Warner, president of NYSA, on. We've had a lot of people on, and obviously COVID is the big issue right now. Cases have spiked. A lot of even snowmobile classes, even with the social distancing, have been postponed or have just been canceled. Social distancing is inherent in snowmobiling because you have a mask on, you have a helmet on, and you're riding solo. It's usually when people stop and congregate either to get warm or to do a hot dog roast that, there might be a little bit of a consideration, with things. So besides the obvious with COVID and things that you may be doing to try and help riders with any issues that may come up with that, what are your biggest issues and concerns with your trail system and with snowmobiling in general for this upcoming season?
Well, generally, our area is very busy on the weekends, and one concern is with the establishments being limited to capacity on big weekends. It's just for even people with their kids. It's if a place is full, what's going to arise when you want to go in and just warm up and have lunch? And I think it's going to be a learning curve as it starts and goes on through the season. And I hope too many people don't get mad over it, but it's going to be a learning curve for everybody, for the clubs. It's going to be hard for us with the fundraisers, such as, like Turn with their hot dog roast. We do our snowmobile race every year with chicken barbecue and food and all that. So as of right now, we have that on the back burner. We're actually doing a raffle right now, a gun raffle, just to help raise money, just because we figured we wouldn't be able to do any fundraisers, just for something to help bring us in some money for all the repairs we did last year on the equipment, to try to raise money back up to do an addition on our groomer barn. And like I said, it's going to be tough, and I don't know how many people it's going to drive away. You don't know what restrictions are going to be for the people coming out of Pennsylvania, what's going to change on that, or people out of Jersey, Connecticut. So it's going to be really tough to actually say, Rich, this is what's going to go on. But it's going to be a learning curve for everybody. And I know all the clubs are doing what they got to do for precautions with everybody in the club. Such for us, we're not having any meetings right now. Anything's through a group text. And when we're going to do work, like tomorrow we're working on a bridge, it's just going to be three of us, instead of usually you'd have six or seven guys. So, we're doing what we can do to stay safe with it and keep everybody else that comes to our meetings and all that, and just trying to keep everybody in the club functioning on the same page. So hopefully you don't get anybody sick or anything like that. So.
So I guess really the key words here is patience, understanding, information. So for the latest information, obviously we try to share from the different sources that we have from clubs like you guys. But for people that want to communicate directly with Valley, who don't already know where you're at, how can they find you for trail updates and just general information like you've provided in this podcast?
The general information, the best way to reach out to us is watch on Facebook. Send us a message if you have questions, anything like that. And we'll have trail updates. I don't usually start trail updates until the end of rifle. of even snow coming, just because there's no reason to arise anything right now, because Tug Hill's a sloppy mud hole right now after 3 inches of rain. So
we need time for it to drain off and for the cold to set in and start freezing things down. And we need a lot of cold at this point. It was way too warm in November.
Yes. I mean, when we started out this morning up at the groomer barn, it was 51 degrees. And then now this evening it's 33. So right now, so it's, hopefully we can get into a pattern where stuff can tighten up and we can get some snow, or we can get the machines out after next Sunday, because we can, as of next Sunday, we can start grooming just on top of the hill. You cannot come down in the lava or towards Copenhagen because of late muzzleloader for one more week. So, you never know, if we get that miracle 4 foot dumping and some cold weather in the middle of next week, just watch the Facebook page. We'll let you know when we head out and anything to watch out for.
And we'll certainly let you know if that 4 foot dump out of out of the heavens is going to be on the way. I know all the snow and winter weather lovers are waiting for it.
Everybody is.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So before I let you go, I just want to ask you, and I've kind of asked this of many of our guests, but if there's one thing or a couple of things about snowmobiling right now that you would change, what would it be?
Probably I would say it would be and it's not just our club, it's everywhere, is the people riding off the marked trail. That's probably the number one thing that I would say that's the biggest heated debate everywhere, is, and the people that just come up and ride that don't have a clue when this stuff happens, the phone calls that go on through the week just so you can keep a trail open.
And as trail coordinator, what is usually the first or second thing that you hear out of the landowners?
Well, people riding off the marked trail, especially in bigger farm fields, or just even people just, you might get a message of just people being disrespectful to a landowner if something is mentioned to them. I would say that's the biggest thing. Other than that, it's not too bad. I mean, generally, you know, when you're on top of the hill, it's pretty cut and dry. You're on roads. But when you get off into the private land is where sometimes you'll run into trouble. You know, you get spots where you get them thaws and people are still running the trails, and the trail's a little thinner, but 20 feet off the marked trail, it's decent snow. Well, there's one track, another 2,000 follow, and then next thing you know, you have a disgruntled landowner.
It's very hard to avoid, especially when you get those mud holes opening up, given the up and down winters that we have. So you could certainly see both sides of that. But at the end of the day, it's the landowners that make the trails possible, and you got to keep it between the stakes. You got to keep it shiny side up, and you got to keep it between the stakes. That's all there is to it, regardless of the conditions. And you got to adjust your speed and be prepared for anything while you're out there.
Yes, because trail conditions, you know, like you say, with the days, it can be good one day, and the next day it's 38 degrees, and you have holes that start opening up with the sunshine and heavy traffic through them.
Yes, for sure. And we appreciate all that you do. We appreciate all that Valley does to keep up great trails and being an important club, not just in the Tug Hill, but in the state of New York. I appreciate you taking the time, keeping us updated on the windmill projects going on up there and just with things in general. And I appreciate you sharing the stories, of snowmobiling up there in Lewis County. Thank you, Rory Nortz, trail coordinator, maintenance coordinator for the Valley Snow Travelers in Lewis County, up in the Lowville and Martinsburg areas. Thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll look forward to catching up soon, hopefully with some good news of some deep snow coming from the lake.
All right, Rich, it was nice talking to you. You and the family stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the Trail Talk Podcast. For more podcast episodes, weather information, and so much more, visit upstatesnow.com.